And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I love Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Listen to what it says. It says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You know, there's two great fallacies today in the world, and there's no time better than right now to expose them here on Power of Prophecy, because today we're going to be discussing secrets. That's right, another volume of secrets. This is volume 133. But think about that verse that I just read to you, dear friends. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Who is an overcometh but he that has Jesus Christ? That's right. That's how you overcome the beast, with the blood of the Lamb. That's what it says about the last days. And the power of your testimony. And what is your testimony? Your testimony is your witness to the world that you are a born-again believer saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that alone. That's your testimony. And the book of Revelation says it is your testimony of Jesus, what he's done for you in your life, and what Jesus did, the blood of the Lamb that overcomes. And yet I have so many people telling me, you know, after we're raptured, Tex, then the Jews will have their Zionist world empire. And then, you know, they really don't have to know Jesus now. It doesn't really matter whether they believe in Jesus now or not. God's going to save them all en masse. Whether they want to believe in Jesus or not, they're suddenly just all going to be saved. Jesus is going to appear in the heavens, and they're all going to say, "Wow, he's the one." And then the Jews will rule over all the nations with a rod of iron. Huh? Is that how you overcome, just by being of a certain blood type? Of course, not all Jews are of that blood type. Many Palestinians and Arabs and others have as much ancient Israelite blood as do the Jews of today. Say the DNA experts, the people who say I'm a Jew, that doesn't mean anything. Go take a DNA test. You may find out you're Turkish or Mongolian or Khazar or African or Indian or European. I mean, DNA is shaking up a lot of people now. Could be the prime minister of Israel might not be an Israelite after all. Oh, you know, I always used to laugh here in America. St. Patrick's Day would come around, and, you know, everybody would crowd to the bars. I remember I was in the Air Force, and I was at the officers club, you know, with the other guys, and people would come in, and they'd all order beers and everything and drinks, and they would have a big sloshy drinking celebration on St. Patrick's Day. A lot of them just get plowed out of their minds. And they all wore little, you know, signs of green, you know, a little green hanky or a little green pen, you know, "Kiss me, I'm Irish," I think was very popular as a button that people would wear, just like a campaign button. And everybody on that day, St. Patrick's Day, is probably still true in America. I guess I'm out of touch, being an old fogey like I am. But on St. Patrick's Day, everybody says, "I'm Irish." I believe a lot of people believe it. And a lot of people say, "I'm Jew," but it's not even true. It's just to their advantage to say it. Nowadays, you can get your books published. You can get in Hollywood movies. You can get all kind of things done if you just say, "I'm a Jew." Change your name to Goldstein or Silversmith or something, and you can be a Jew too. Well, you may not be able to immigrate to Israel, but who wants to go there anyway? Evidently, most of the Jews don't. In fact, there's more Jews living in America than there are Israel. They don't want to go there. And anybody can change their name. Just go see a judge and say, I want to be a Jew. Change my name from Smith to Goldberg. He'll do it for you. It might cost you a few $100 in legal fees. Are the Jews going to have power over the nations in a millennial kingdom of the Jews? That's what the dispensationalists say. That's what John Hagee and the late Jerry Falwell said. That's what all James Dobson is telling you that today. Pat Roberts and all the big wig names. The Jews are going to have their world kingdom. Jesus, of course, says, my kingdom is not of this world. So I suppose if the Jews want to have their kingdom in this world, that's fine. But they can't have Jesus tied to it. He doesn't want it. Isn't that interesting? They want a kingdom, and Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And in any case, Revelation said it's not the Jews, it's not the Germans, it's not the Spaniards, it's not any, but not the Russians, not the Chinese. That are the overcomers who will have power over the nations. Would you please write a letter to the red Chinese leaders and let them know about this verse? How about Bush? He wants to set up an American empire, a Zionist American empire in the world. Tell him he better forget about it. He better read Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Illuminati, there's a fallacy for you. The Illuminati says we're going to build a world kingdom. They're already building it. Really? It's not going to last very long. Hitler lasted 12 years. The Russian Empire did not make it, the communist empire, that is, of the Soviet Union, didn't make it 70 years. Even Rome didn't last 1,000 years. So who is going to have power over the nations? You know what I believe? I believe what the Bible says. You can believe the Jews are going to get it. The Illuminati is going to get it. The Americans are going to have it. The red Chinese are going to take over everything. And I'm here to tell you that's a bunch of baloney. I already know. The overcomers. The overcomers. Keep Jesus' works unto the end. He will give you power over the nations. Hey, talking about Israel and the Jews, you know, if you're a Muslim, sometime in your life you must go to Mecca. At least you should strive to do that. And there you go to Mecca, you know, there in Saudi Arabia, this holy city, and you do your circumambulation. They call it the circle deal. You know, you go around so many times, I think it's three times around the Hola Kaaba, and then they let you go in the Holy Kaaba, and then you kiss the little black stone. And then once you've kissed the black stone, that's right, there's a black stone in there. Must be pretty germy. I hope they have a guy going around with Lysol spraying it periodically, because millions of Muslims kiss a black stone. That's right, a black stone that they say fell from heaven. And Muhammad says this is a holy stone. So anytime a Muslim says, we don't believe in idolatry, huh? What? They go in this square Kaaba building, draped in black, and they go in there and kiss the black stone. Oh, my. Sort of like, you know, the Catholics kiss the ring of the Pope and the bishops. Sort of like I kiss Wanda. But I don't worship her. I just sort of appreciate and love her. But isn't it interesting? These are idols for these people. The black stone idol. They got to go to Mecca. The Hindus go to the Ganges River and bathe in the Ganges River, the one of the most polluted and dirty rivers in the world. But they believe the spirits of their ancestors and the spirits of the gods and goddesses are inside the Ganges River. And when they plunge into it, why, they're just immersed among the spirits. Woo! Gives you an invigorating feel, doesn't it? I mean, why not just go and wallow in the mud after a big rain in some cemetery somewhere? I don't know. That's probably find some spirits there too. Some people believe. It's a little grotesque. I know. I'm being a little macabre. I apologize. Well, I really don't. I don't want to lie to you. I think it's sort of funny. These people have such weird beliefs. But listen, every American politician who wants to become president of the United States must make a pilgrimage to Israel. That's right. Israel is the idol of all American politicians contemplating becoming president of the United States. Listen to this headline news from Israel Today. Oh, they're proud of it over in Israel. Fred Thompson coming to Israel. The old law and order man, former senator from the deep south. And now it says here, Fred Thompson is coming to Israel. This is dated June 6, 2007. Israel Today newspaper. Fred Thompson, U.S. presidential hopeful and former star of the hit television series Law and Order, is scheduled to make his first visit to Israel in the coming days. You see, he hasn't even announced for president. He can't till he gets his marching orders. They've got to, I mean, the rabbis have to put their hands on him and do some gibberish from the Jewish Kabbalah in Hebrew and baptize him in some kind of Kabbalistic black magic ritual. You say text. You're making this up. They don't have that over there. The Freemasons, the Illuminati Lodge, meet deep under the earth in a cave, Zedekiah's cave. They even have a special room way deep under the earth. They can get close to the devils down there, down in that cave. You say, Tex, where did you get this? Friends, get my video. I have two of them, Thunder Over Zion, Illuminati Mystery Babylon. You will see in those videos, I actually have pictures of the room where they have their secret Illuministic Masonic Lodge meetings, the Grand Lodge of Jerusalem. And I tell you about the Illuminati lair, that's all I can call it, a lair, devil's lair of the Illuminati that was found in Israel. You say, Tex, this can't be true, but it is true. Of course it's true. What do you think most Masonic lodges throughout the world, if you go in, they're all decorated with a certain sign. It's the Jewish Star of David, the hexagram. They call it Solomon's Star. Some call it the Star of David, the hexagram. Witches use it to put hexes on people. I'm not even going to tell you its true meaning now, but you can get my book, Codex Magica. It'll explain it to you. But Fred Thompson has to go to Israel. George Bush went. You know, I was the first one to expose in the national news that George W. Bush, as governor of Texas, went to Israel and was given a personal tour by Ariel Sharon, who was the defense minister at the time. And there, George W. Bush was told what he had to do to be president. One of the things he had to do was to admit publicly that Jesus was not the only way to salvation. And he did that. It was on page one of the Austin American Statesman, and they even discussed it in the New York Times. Jesus is not the only way to salvation. And then Abraham Foxman jumps out of the foxhole and says, well, good going, Georgie boy. I'm going to sign a pact, an agreement with you. They signed a covenant with George W. Bush, and they kept the covenant secret. You can't get a copy of it. I don't know what the Jewish ADL henchmen, Abraham Foxman and Bush signed their, they may have signed it in blood for all I know. It was a covenant, an agreement. And Foxman says, now we can embrace George W. Bush for president. What do you think he became president? He made a pilgrimage to Israel. And now Fred Thompson coming to Israel. It says, Thompson, who is said to have a fair chance, I'm reading from Israel Today, a fair chance of winning the Republican presidential nomination, will meet with Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, the Foreign Minister Zippy Livni, and various other senior officials during his tour of Israel. Then it says something interesting. It says, of the dozen or so candidates contesting the nomination, Thompson is among the most supportive of Israel. The former actor, who also served as a U.S. senator, insisted recently in a hard-hitting editorial column that Israel has been too careful in its war on Palestinian terrorism. Israel needs to... Thompson, I mean, they've savaged the Palestinians. They've massacred, the Israelis massacred, that they covered up houses and nurseries and daycare centers and hospitals, smashed them to smithereens and covered them up with bulldozers with people inside them. And then they killed thousands, tens of thousands with phosphorus and other bombs that are outlawed by international treaty in Lebanon. Kill all those people, many of them Christians in Lebanon, just this last year. And then this idiot, Fred Thompson, goes to Israel after writing a column saying Israel has been far too careful in its war against the Palestinians. And then Thompson also said, quote, the Jewish state, notice what he's called it. Did he call it Israel? No, it's the Jewish state. Now, in Iraq, we say we don't want the Shiites to control Iraq. Okay, so they are more than 70% of the population, but they shouldn't control it. We need a nation that has nothing to do with religion. Separation of church and state, that's the way we need to go, isn't it? That's what America has. We need that for Iraq, for Iran, for Syria. How terrible. The Muslims want to have a Muslim state. Why, the Ayatollahs, oh, shame on them. But in Israel, the rabbis have a Jewish religious state. You got to be a Jew religiously to get any recognition, anything going with the government there. Jewish racially, too, by the way. They have the law of return. You can return if you're a Jew. Although you've never been there, I don't know how you can be returning, but anyway, that's what they say. They call it the law of return. Now, they kicked out all the Palestinians in 1948, massacring many of them, driving them out of their villages, but there is no law of return if you're a Palestinian. If a Palestinian says, but my family, my relatives, we lived here for hundreds and hundreds of years before you Israelis came, you Jews came. What does the Jewish state tell them? Sorry, the law of return doesn't apply to you. You'll have to stay in your refugee camps, squalor, out in the desert, 105 degree temperature, no food, no sanitation. It's what you filthy, dirty, inferior, goyim cattle deserve. But we racially conscious, superior, God-like Jews, we're going to stay on your land. And we'll let others like us come. But only them. I think they call that bigotry and racism, don't they? Wouldn't the Jewish ADL say that here in America if the Christians tried to pull that? If the Muslims tried to pull that in America? Well, that wouldn't be allowed. Thompson wrote, the Jewish state has gone to incredible lengths to stop the war against them without harming Palestinian noncombatants. Can you believe that? Mr. Thompson, your head must be full of pure mush. And by the way, it is. Some of the Nixon tapes have been released now. The Nixon tapes. Remember when Nixon was president? They had audio tapes going in the White House. They've released some of the tapes now. And Fred Thompson was an attorney, then a counsel, working in the Senate, and they were talking about what a buffoon and an idiot he was. All the Nixon guys knew this guy Thompson is an idiot. Now they wanted to make him president of the United States. And guess what? The Christian evangelicals love this guy. Must be because he's supporting Israel. Must be because he's supporting Israel. Making a pilgrimage. By the way, the dumbed down Christian evangelicals, they'll do anything the Jews and the rabbis and their evangelical leaders like Dobson and Falwell and Robertson tell them to do. They'll vote for Fred Thompson in a flash. or Mitt Romney or whoever. And here's an interesting thing. According to the Austin American Statesman, July 25th, 2007, page one, says Texas Christians are getting all excited. Republicans from Texas who are Christians, they see a big role for Thompson in this presidential campaign. But now the American Statesman just happens to be a very liberal, left-wing, Democrat Party-type newspaper. And they love this. After reporting that Thompson is in the honeymoon phase and that he hasn't even declared his candidacy, but he's already the number two candidate. He's right behind Rudy Giuliani as a favorite of the GOP voters. But I want to read you something that says here. Boy, don't you know the Austin American Statesman, being a liberal newspaper, must love to report stuff like this. After talking about how much the conservative Republicans, especially the evangelical community, love this Fred Thompson, they think he's like one of them. Listen, it says, the New York Times reported Thursday, I'm reading now from this press report, the New York Times reported Thursday that Thompson worked as a lobbyist for a group that wanted to loosen federal rules on abortion in the 1990s. He even checked a box on a 1994 questionnaire in which Thompson said abortion should be legal under any circumstances during the first 3 months of pregnancy. He wanted to make abortions legal, and he worked for a pro-abortion group. He was paid as an attorney, as a lobbyist. Wow. By the way, Fred Thompson was asked about that, about this very thing, and his campaign workers came out and said, oh, that's all a lie. It's not even true. None of it ever happened. So you know what they did? They went to the law firm that Thompson worked for and got all the billing reports. The New York Times, and they published those, showed that Thompson is a liar. So now let's see. He's a slave to Zionist interest and a liar, besides, when he says they do everything they can not to harm the Palestinian noncombatants in their war against Palestine. So he's a liar there. He's a liar when he says that he never was a pro-abortion lobbyist. But, hey, that's Hollywood. Everybody lies every once in a while in Hollywood, don't they? And Christian evangelicals, they don't mind. They're looking for anybody. Giuliani, he's been married two or three times. He fiddled around on his wife. It's been shown that he's a transvestite dresser. It's been shown that he lived with a homosexual lover for 3 years, although Giuliani insisted he slept on the couch in their apartment in New York City. Well, the Christians say, well, I don't know about Giuliani. I do like the fact that he's a big 9/11 warrior and he'll go against those Arabs and the terrorists and kill them all. Yeah, I like that. Then there's Mitt Romney. They sort of like Mitt Romney. Now, it's true that he used to support gay rights and same-sex marriages, but he says he's changed. Surely we can believe him. Now, the fact that he's a Mormon, and Mormons believe that Jesus, listen to this, is only one of thousands of gods, and that Jesus had many wives, including Mary Magdalene and Martha. Yeah, he was a polygamist. Jesus was a polygamist, according to Joseph Smith and all the founders of Mormonism. But that's okay. Mitt Romney seems to be our kind of guy. He says he's a Jesus man, and I'll bet he is a Jesus man. You know that other Jesus? Oh, boy. Of course, over on the other side, we have Osama Obama and Hillary, the lesbo queen, Hillary's Clinton. So, oh boy, what can you do? I got a letter in the mail this week. Person said they've just totally disappointed me. Said they've been depressed for 4 days because I said that I personally support Ron Paul. Now, Christian sister, I know you would like Ron Paul to be a Bible-believing Christian like you and me. You know, I would love to have that too. But in this world, we're not going to have perfection. in this world, you're not going to have perfection. And let me tell you something. I don't believe in any politician. So I go down there on voting day, and I do the best I can. Is Ron Paul a Bible-believing Christian that believes in the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation? I seriously doubt that. But compare him to these other clowns. Compare him to these other buffoons. Compare him to these other lying, blaspheming dogs. Am I a bad person for saying things like that? It's just true. Do you want a Ron Paul or do you want a Mormon who believes Jesus was a polygamist? Do you want a Ron Paul or you want a Rudy Giuliani who believes abortion is the way to go and had gay rights extravaganzas right there in his house, the mayor's mansion in New York City, and lived with a homosexual man for 3 years? Hey, what have we got here? What else can we do? That's the way the world is. I appreciate the things Ron Paul stands for, the Constitution of the United States. I appreciate the fact that he believes in the Second Amendment, which is that we have the right to keep and bear guns. I appreciate the fact he believes in the First Amendment. We have the right of free speech and freedom of religion. I appreciate the fact that he's tired of these wars that are a bunch of rackets for the rich. I appreciate all these things. Giuliani doesn't believe in any of those things. Fred Thompson doesn't believe any of that. Governor Huckabee doesn't. Dennis Kucinich doesn't. It goes on and on. Mr. Obama doesn't. Hillary Clinton doesn't. What can I say, friends? There is no perfect candidate. But when you look at the horrible, horrible record of all of these candidates except Ron Paul, well, hey, I'm going to run to the polls and vote for the man. That's my opinion. You're welcome to yours. And keep looking around long enough, and maybe you can get Saint so-and-so to run. I don't know of where he's at. I'm looking for him. Let me tell you something, friend. The Bible says very clearly in the last things are going to wax worse and worse. As Americans, we vote for the best that we can. Somebody said, well, if you vote for the best of two evils, you're still voting for evil. That's right. And I have respect for people that just say, I'm not going to vote. And I'll tell you what. If Ron Paul is not the nominee, I probably will stay home. Say, well, Tex, some people will criticize me for saying that. But it's true. I'm not going to vote for any of those other guys. They're still going to send American troops over, young men and women, to be slaughtered in an unnecessary war. I'm not going to vote for them. And Dennis Kucinich, yeah, he's against the war, but he's a socialist communist. I'm not going to vote for him. Here's something else that really makes me angry. Got a new movie coming up. They just keep testing us, the Jews that run Hollywood. I'm angry. I'm more angry, not at Hollywood. When I tell you about this movie, you're going to get angry too. I know you are. Because you love the truth. And you're tired and you're sick and tired like me of Jesus getting kicked around by Hollywood. Well, he really can't get kicked around. It's just his image. Nobody's going to kick Jesus around. He's God of the universe. But the image, I don't even like that. I believe these people in doing what they're doing to Jesus, trying to besmirch and blaspheme him, they are sealing their own doom. I'm going to tell you about this movie in just a minute, a new movie coming out. It's supposed to be a comedy. I'm really laughing. Yeah, ha ha. You'll be shocked. You'll be amazed. When I saw this just this week, I was amazed. I had anger. I cried a little. We'll talk about it when we come back. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We got a lot more secrets when we return. Stay with us, friends. You know, a while ago I was talking about filthy dogs, and I was referring to these politicians. A lot of people say I'm a little bit too harsh in my language. Well, I probably am. But on the other hand, the Bible talks about filthy dogs. Well, it does. Remember what happened to Jezebel? The dogs licked her blood. She blasphemed God. And, you know what happened to her? She was killed. She was thrown off the balcony. Her dead body lay on the street, and it says the dogs, the filthy old dogs, licked her blood. Pretty grotesque, isn't it? That talk about macabre. The same kind of thing is going to happen to everybody who rebels against God unless they repent. So when I call people dogs, read Isaiah. Isaiah talked about those people who claim to be prophets or ministers of God, but he says they're nothing more than dogs. Slumbering. They're asleep. And they're not even good dogs because they don't have any bark. They don't have any bite. I've got a dog at home. Name's Daisy. One that I love, Daisy. She really doesn't have a bite. I've never known her to bite anybody, although she's scared a few. She does have a bark, though. And I feel very confident when I go to sleep at night, if somebody breaks in, Daisy is going to raise a big ruckus. Yeah, she's not big, but she's got a big old mouth on her. Sometimes I have to tell her, shut up, Daisy. There's nobody at the door. You know, even if the wind rustles things a little bit, whoa, 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 she goes off. But I can't complain too much. If I trained her not to, or if I did something terrible like, taking her to some vet, and I've heard people do that, cut their vocal cords. I don't believe in that stuff. But, then she couldn't be doing the function that she should be doing, which is to be a good little watchdog. But that's the ministers and so-called prophets of today. They don't even have a bark. Certainly no bite. And all they do is lick. And you might say they are licking blood because they're licking up to the bigwigs, to the elite. Whatever the money people say, that's what they do. Who are these money people? Well, I recently offered, and we still have it now, incredible two-tape set, two audio tapes or CDs, compact disc, whichever you prefer. The title of it I gave may be a little shocking to some. It's called The Pigs Are Still in the Parlor. The pigs are still in the parlor. How would you like to have a bunch of dirty old hogs and pigs in your parlor? In your front room, in your family room, or living room, whatever you call it. We used to call it living rooms back in the old days, and I guess now they call them family rooms. But the pigs are still, are still there. Who are the pigs? Well, it's the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Council of the Americas, people like Henry Kissinger, Rockefeller, Bill Clinton, yes, Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention, Rick Warren of the Purpose Driven Church. The pigs are still in the parlor. 2 hours expose of the plot of the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the Council of the Americas, to end American sovereignty, take away our dollar, replace it with the Amaro, and actually bring about a Zionist New World Order. That's why we don't have immigration control at the borders. It's because of the pigs. They're still in the parlor. Many years ago, about 12 years ago, I did a series of exposés, and I call it The Pigs Are in the Parlor. I would have loved to come back now a dozen years later and say they're gone. They're not there anymore, but it didn't happen. They're still there, and they're fatter. They're a lot fatter, and they're a lot more swinish than they've ever been. You've got to have this two-hour tape. Actually, it's audio tapes, if you have audio tape players, cassette players. On the other hand, if you have a CD player, then we'll give it to you in CD. $12 for 2 hours. You really need this to find out about this North American Union, why they're doing what they're doing on the immigration front, this Trans-America Corridor, why they're ending America. And they're doing it blatantly right in our face, and then they say we're not doing it. Ha, ha, ha. You people are just a bunch of conspiracy kooks. They're liars. Of course they are. And they're getting away with it because they control and run and own the media. And they've been buying the media up for decades now, and finally they own it. Lock, stock, and barrel, except for a few sites on the internet. And then they send out their government watchdog, you know, filthy dogs to try to control the internet, hacking into websites and so forth, setting up fake websites, claiming to be patriots. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The pigs are still in the parlor. Here's how to get your two-tape set or your CD of The Pigs Are Still in the Parlor. 2 hours of exposés for $12. Just call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or write to us. We're at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. Again, that's Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And by the way, it's on our website, conspiracyworld.com or powerofprophecy.com. They have a little search engine there. You know, they call it a little search engine. You just go right to the homepage. That's powerofprophecy.com. Go to that little search engine right on the homepage and type in Pigs Parlor. It'll take you right to it. All right, now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about Secrets, Volume 133, and I was going to tell you about this movie. I don't even like to tell you about, but it's necessary. You know, I don't think people would believe it if we didn't get the word out and expose this. Well, let's sit at the movie theaters, and some parents may think, well, it's okay to let my sons and daughters go to this. Listen to the name of this movie. It's called The Ten. The Ten. T-E-N. It's rated R. They say it has sexual content, sexual language, and of course, naturally, some drug material, illegal drugs. It stars Jessica Alba, Winona Ryder, Gretchen Mol, and a man named Liev Schreiber. It's the story of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Remember the Last Temptation of Jesus movie? Christians really got inflamed about that one, but I don't know what they're going to do about this, but I'm waiting to see. Let me read a little bit of this article to you on WorldNet Daily. It says, and this is, I'm reading now right from the news item. It says, Jesus deflowers virgin sex spot in new comedy. Hollywood spoofs the Ten Commandments. Hollywood makes fun of the Ten Commandments. The movie is called The Ten. It says here, a new comedy spoof on the Ten Commandments portrays Jesus Christ having sex and deflowering a sexy virgin. Oh, my goodness gracious. Here's some of the things you're going to see in this movie. You'll see a guy I'm not even going to tell you about the rest of it. It's too much. Has a picture here right on WorldNet Daily showing this so-called Jesus. He's got long hair naturally and a beard and a mustache, and just like they picture Jesus. And he's got his hands on the buttocks of some girl that he's fixing to deflower the sex pot. Why do they do that to us? Because they can? For now? Can you imagine if they had Mohammed and they showed him grabbing a girl by the back end and deflowering, having sex with a so-called virgin sex pot? If they had Muhammad, they would burn the theaters down. Muslims nationwide would riot. They would take the Hollywood directors and producers and string them up from the yard post. Should Christians do that? No. No. What should we do? Well, friends, if you don't get angry about this, this may be the time to go out to the streets, not to cause violence, but to let people know that you are sick and tired. You're not going to put up with this any longer. You're going to boycott. You're going to ban these kind of movies and all these movies. I know you wouldn't go to them and you wouldn't let your family go to them, but any Hollywood movies, we've had enough. If you don't do anything, they're going to keep it coming, except it'll be an escalation. There'll be a flood of these things. You better do something. Where's the church at? Well, here's from Catholic Family News. You might be wanting interest in this little article. Catholic Family News actually is a pretty good newspaper. They actually believe in some good things. Of course, I'm not pro-Catholic at all. Why should I be? Because listen to what this article asks. It says, why do the U.S. Catholic bishops not excommunicate pro-abortion politicians? A lot of Catholics have been asking that over the years. Ted Kennedy has been one of the most avid pro-abortion, pro-murdering baby political candidates for what, 30, 40 years now? He's still a Roman Catholic in good standing. Of course, he also divorced his wife, and the Catholics say they don't believe in divorce. He got an annulment. How can you be married to somebody for 20-some-odd years and they annul it? Oh, it's called money. You give money to the priest. You give money to the church. You have influence. Well, evidently, there was a meeting recently of some Catholic faithful of the St. Joseph's Foundation, and they ask Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, why is it that you Catholic bishops don't excommunicate these monstrous Catholic politicians? They're pro-abortion. They're pro-homosexual. Why don't you do something? Kick them out of the church. Here's what the good Cardinal Theodore McCarrick said. He said, well, you must remember the Catholic Church engages in the political process with a well-informed conscience. But there are serious risks in excommunicating politicians. In the first place, the church may be accused of trying to coerce the politician's conscience. Secondly, people might accuse the church of trying to meddle in the political process. And finally, the church could incur the danger of alienating judges, legislators, and public administrators whose goodwill is needed for the support of the Catholic programs. Now let's get this straight. This Catholic cardinal said we can't do anything about the Ted Kennedys. All the homosexuals in our own church that are politicians, we can't do a thing about it. Those who support abortion, why? Why, that would alienate judges and legislators and public administrators, and they wouldn't like us. We wouldn't have their goodwill. Mr. Cardinal, would you prefer the goodwill of Jesus or the goodwill of these rotten, rancid politicians? Well, you answered that question for us. Anyway, he says people might accuse the church, the Catholic Church, of trying to meddle in the political process. Now, let's get this straight. You're a pastor of a church, supposedly. You're a bishop. A guy in your church is a big homosexual faggot. And he's a U.S. senator. But, you know, people might accuse you of meddling if you told him that that's a sin and that he's going to have to leave the church if he doesn't change. You wouldn't want to be accused of meddling, would you? Well, Cardinal McCarrick says we bishops don't want to be accused of that. And then there's the matter of the good cardinal saying we may be accused also of trying to coerce the politician's conscience. Why, of course not. You wouldn't want to coerce a person's conscience. You wouldn't want to have to tell them of their sin. You wouldn't want to have to say you can't be a member of the church and lie, cheat, steal, be an idolater, being a whoremonger, a homosexual. I wouldn't want to inform you of these things because, after all, somebody might accuse me of trying to coerce you. You know, friends, on Judgment Day, I think there's going to be a lot of coercion going on. Don't you? Think of all the homosexuals, the whoremongers, the murderers, the liars, the robbers, the thieves standing before God saying, well, the Catholic bishops never told me I was wrong. You're not going to meddle in my affairs, are you, God? You're not going to try to coerce me. Why, I won't give you my goodwill if you do that, God. I think the Bible already explains what's going to happen. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And then he will cast them into the lake of fire. But the Catholic Church won't. So listen to me, all you politicians. Go and join the Roman Catholic Church, because you can be assured, according to Catholic McCarrick, you can live your life just the way you want to, and he won't meddle. I love it. By the way, here's another thing from Catholic Family News. Sydney, Australia, 2008 has World Youth Day coming up. They have this every year somewhere around the world. They had one in Colorado some years ago. Pope is always there. They have a theme this year, and the theme is written by somebody, a good Catholic. This year it's written by a rock music idol who says he has no problem with gay marriage. The songwriter says he has been to gay clubs heaps of times. His name is Guy Sebastian. He's winner of the first Australian Idol, you know, like American Idol, the TV contest. Well, he won the Australian Idol version of it in 2003. He's a Catholic. He says, I don't see anything wrong with homosexuality. It does not conflict with my Catholic beliefs. Well, of course it doesn't, Mr. Sebastian. I mean, 80% of Roman Catholic priests are homosexuals. How could it possibly conflict with your Roman Catholicism beliefs? Am I picking on the Catholic Church? Uh-oh, hey, wait, I've got another news item right here. Talking about Australia, my good friend there at the Southeast Christian Witness Ministry sent me a news item about the Planet Shakers Pentecostal Conference in Adelaide, Australia. Listen to this. Planet Shakers Pentecostal Conference in Adelaide. Went on for 4 days. Boy, I tell you, the witnesses there said it was really something. They really received a blessing from God from all that rock and roll music, those loud, dynamic preachers coming together to worship Jesus. In fact, Pentecostal preachers got up and says how wonderfully ecstatic it was. Mass conversions, healings. There was a few complainants. Like one man, Russell Evans, said he was a little bit upset about the fact that they would throw towels at somebody and they would just fall over in the spirit, babbling in tongues. Just throw a towel at them and they fall over. Point to them and they fall over. In the spirit, of course. This guy says, well, that was blasphemy. Blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Somebody complained to one of the leaders of this Planet Shakers conference. And he said, well, what do you don't like? You don't have to take. Just chew the meat and spit out the bones. Really? Let me get that again. Chew the meat and spit out the bones. It's up to you. It's a pro-choice group. What you like, take. The other stuff, you don't have to. By the way, the kids loved it. They set up an impromptu mosh pit. They banged into each other. They screamed. They hollered. They had mohawk haircuts, piercings of their flesh, tattoos all over their bodies. Some people said, I have tattoos for God, even of dragons, even of serpents. And they said, I did it for God. Yeah, get a serpent tattoo. Do it for God. Oh, boy. Protestants. Well, they're really not Protestants, but they're not Catholics. But wait, are they? Hey, what's it matter nowadays? Catholic, Protestant, it's all the same thing. Meanwhile, the government still is poking its nose. The Internal Revenue Service says it can tell churches what to do, what to preach, what to say, what to teach. Somebody sent me an article and said, Dear Tex, Maybe you should remind the IRS what President Thomas Jefferson wrote, that is former president, this was in his retirement, President Thomas Jefferson, 1808, wrote. And then he sent me a quote out of a book. I like this. It says, the Constitution, this is Thomas Jefferson, the Constitution has not placed our religious rights under the power of any public functionary. In other words, any bureaucrat. That was Thomas Jefferson. The Constitution has not placed our religious rights under the power of any public functionary. Where is Thomas Jefferson when we need him, dear friends? Well, let's keep going here. Boy, we've got a lot of things for you. Incredible things. Hey, George Bush said he's going to give $80 million in aid to Palestinians. You see, he gives it, though, through the government of Israel. He gives it to Israel and says, you can give this money to the Palestinians, but only those that you like. In other words, a little corruption going on there. And you know, the Israelis probably take 70 of the 80 million, then only give 10 million to the Palestinians. A lot of people say, Tex, look how wonderful the Israelis are. They have a nice, modern, gleaming new country and big highways and hospitals in which they give free medical care. That's right. They have a socialist medical system there. And then the Palestinians are living in poverty and squalor. It shows the culture of the Muslims versus the culture of the Jews, doesn't it, Tex? No, I think it's called $10 billion or more a year in foreign aid money going to Israel from America. $10 billion, and then we give $80 million for the Palestinians, but we give it through the Jews. And by the way, the Jews have already announced they will not give it to the Palestinian people as long as the Palestinians continue to vote for the Hamas political party. Now, let's get this straight. It's sort of like America being in poverty, but Russia or China being a rich country and say, we're not going to give you Americans our foreign aid money unless you vote Republican or vote Democrat. So the Palestinians voted, that's right, democracy, they voted for the Hamas political party. They're the ones in power. And America turns around and says, shame on you. We're not going to give you any foreign aid money at all. This $80 million, says Bush, because you people didn't vote for the man we wanted. Reminds me of the Pentagon Papers. You know, Daniel Ellsberg worked in the Pentagon, and many years ago, back during the Vietnam War, he leaked the so-called classified Pentagon Papers. I was very intrigued by some of the papers and what they revealed. One of the things they revealed was that the most popular politician in all of Vietnam was a man named Ho Chi Minh. The problem was Ho Chi Minh was a socialist communist, the American government said. And the Pentagon Papers said, we must not allow the people of Vietnam to have free elections. If we do, they will vote for Ho Chi Minh. He's so popular. He fought against the Japanese in World War II. He's a national hero. He'll win the election. We cannot allow that. Sort of like Ron Paul. Even if the American people want this man, we've got to fake the polls. We can't let people know he's popular, the opinion polls. We got to fake them. And that's not all. We can't let him be elected. We'll have to rig the voting machines if he does get the nomination of the Republican Party. The American people, they're so stupid. They don't know what they're doing. They'd vote in a guy like Ron Paul. We cannot allow that. And now they're saying in Israel, we can't allow them to vote themselves while they're stupid Palestinians. I think it sort of reminds me of the last two George Bush elections. We can't allow the American people a free vote. We've got to rig the voting machines. And they do. Wow. Hey, somebody sent me an article from San Francisco Weekly newspaper. I'm not surprised. Hey, anybody out there interested in being a model? Well, an organization called Kink.com, that's K-I-N-K as in kinky, Kink.com is having a model call. This is actually in the newspaper. They're looking for men and women ages 18 to 35 for adult movie productions in the Bay Area of California. They say females are needed who are interested in performing solo masturbation, bondage, sadomasochism, and sexual wrestling. lesbian style. You want to be in a movie like that? Be a model? Well, just call, you know, go online at kink.com. Oh, boy. Also, women who love to dominate men and submissive men that love to be dominated by women. Oh, boy. Kink.com. The man who sent me this, and I really appreciate it. I won't tell you his name because the San Francisco police there are a bunch of homosexual weirdos. And they'll probably go and arrest the guy, and he's a brave guy for writing me. He says former Mayor Willie Brown set this up. Did you get that? Former Mayor Willie Brown. Well, everybody knows Willie Brown is a Satanist. At least he goes to these Satanist parties. I have proof of that. I have pictures of Willie Brown at a party where, well, they're worshiping Satan. Afro-American, former mayor, Willie Brown. By the way, it was Willie Brown that got a phone call. He was going to make an airplane flight. I believe it was to Washington, D.C. to a conference. He was mayor of San Francisco, and he got a phone call. I think the date was September the 10th, 2001. And the phone caller said, Mayor Brown, you're my buddy, so I just want to tell you, you don't want to be flying in an aircraft tomorrow. Something big is going to happen. Something big is going to happen, terrorist. You don't want to fly tomorrow. So Mayor Brown promptly canceled his flight. He canceled it. He didn't want to go. He was told in advance. Tomorrow, something big is going to happen, a terrorist incident. Cancel your flight. Isn't that interesting? He got advance notice of 9/11. Mayor Brown, the same guy that goes to satanic parties. But, of course, all these things are only brought up by kooks, conspiracy nuts. What do we know? Got a letter from Gorham. He wrote to me out in Ohio. And you know who you are. I'm not going to give your full name. But Brother Gorham says, Dear Tex, ever since I got your book, Codex Magic, I've been collecting pictures of various personalities giving secret signs. There's new Ohio Governor Ted Strickland. There's Dennis Kucinich running for president, giving an obscene gesture. Al Gore, Kelly Clarkson, the singer. Prince Harry of Great Britain, Oprah Winfrey on her magazine cover. There they are. If anyone has eyes to see, thanks for your book. Well, thank you, Brother Gorham, for writing to me from Ohio. Well, let's see. We've about to run out of time here. I wanted to talk to you about a lot of things today. Barry Bonds, well, we'll talk more about that. The dog murderer and killer and torturer, Michael Vick. I'd like to talk about that. And so much more. Ford Motor Company. They were having profit problems, but this year they've made over $800 million profit. That's right, an American company, Ford Motor Company. But before you rejoice, let me tell you about the good news that just came out. Reuters has reported that they made a profit this year of over $800 million. Ford Motor Company announced that it's going to spend $930 million on a new factory in Bucharest, Romania. Workers are cheaper there. They're going to be building production of about 24,000 cars starting the first year. 7,000 to 9,000 employees. They make $800 million, but they go spend it and hire people outsourcing in distant Romania. Patriotism on the part of Ford. Boy, Henry Ford would probably roll over in his grave. This is Tex Mars. This has been Secrets, Volume 133. I'm inviting you, dear friends, to be an overcomer, and as an overcomer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to listen in, tune in, and discover the power of prophecy.